Tonight's Divrei Torah should be Le'ilei Nishmas Avraham ben Pinchas, Abraham Sklaren, whose yard site is this evening, Aleph for Shchodesh Elul. His neshama should have a tremendous aliyah on Gan Eden Shalmaila. So we discussed the last couple of nights a lot about davening for a chola, and we talked about davening for a man, davening for a woman, how one davens, what one's supposed to do. So the next part of the discussion I want to have is to talk about if Rachmana Litzlan, someone has to daven for their own father or for their own Rebbe. So how does one go about doing that? So in order to have the proper conversation about this particular halacha, we need some introduction. So that is going to begin like this. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara there is discussing what is the definition of an apikoros. What puts someone in the special category of an apikoros? So the Gemara has a whole bunch of ideas, whole bunch of manda amrim. So number one, Rab says, Hamavaza Talmud Chacham. Someone who gets up and he's Mavaza Talmud Chacham, he is the classical case of an apikoros. Then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman says, what is the definition in his idea of an apikoros? Rav Nachman says, Hakore l'rabo b'shmo. Someone who calls his Rebbe by his name, he is considered an apikoros. Says Rashi over there, what does that mean? To Omer Ploni, you just call the Rebbe by his first name, ve'eno Omer, and he doesn't call his Rebbe. He doesn't refer to him as Mori Rebbe Ploni. So Rashi is telling us that the proper way for a person to refer to his Rebbe is to say, Mori Rabbi Ploni. We'll see in a couple of minutes in Shulchan Aruch and the Bir Agra how this comes down halacha l'maisa. Says the Gemara further, Dam Rabbi Yochanan, why should this individual who calls his Rebbe by the first name, why should he be considered an apikoros? Because Rabbi Yochanan said, Mipnei ma nenosh Gehazi, why was Gehazi punished? He was the helper of Elisha. So why was Gehazi punished? So the Gemara tells us, and not only was he punished, the Marsha over there writes, this is why he lost his chelek l'olam haba for this reason, says the Gemara, Mipnei shekar l'rabo b'shmo, because he called his Rebbe by his first name, Shenemar, Vayomar Gehazi. Gehazi was once talking to someone and he says, Adoni HaMelech, he's talking to a melech and he says, Zos Aisha v'zebini asher hichya Elisha. So he refers to his Rebbe. Everybody knows the famous story that Elisha Hanavi once was able to do a tchiyas ha-mesim on a child who was dead. So Gehazi was recounting the story to one of the Malachim, and he says, my Rebbe, he says, Melech, I want you to know, this woman and this child are the one that Elisha did the nes for. He didn't call him Rebbe, he just says Elisha. So since he calls him by his first name, therefore the Gemara says he lost his chelek in olam haba. So that is why the Gemara tells us, this is why Reb Nachman believes that a person who calls his Rebbe by his first name is classified as an apikoros. In Yerodea, one of the Narsik Kalim on Yerodea writes a famous line. He says, Bov v'nachzik tov v'ladoros ha-rishonim. We owe a big debt of gratitude to all the Rishonim. Why? Asher eschakmu lahastir shmosam ali admus. Because when they were on this earth and they wrote their svarim, they tried very hard to hide their real identities, their real names. Why? Barashay tevis v'natrikin kasvim v'lashon chachma. He said the Rishonim used a lot of chachma when they came up with the names of their svarim. Why? Harambam, Harashba, Haran, Rashi, v'dugmasam. All the Rishonim. We have Rashi tevis and Gematria's. None of the Rishonim are called by their real names. Why? He says, because they did it. So one of the Nesek Kalim writes, the reason why the Rishonim did this is as a favor to us, because we all refer to the Rishonim in our everyday learning. We talk about them all the time. So imagine if every time we recited Rashi's name, we had to be careful to say, Maran Mara Gola Rashi, you know, the Heliger Rashi. So we should say that anyway, out of respect to Rashi, but this is what some of the Nesek Kalim say, that this is why the Rishonim tried hard to make it easier for us, so they just call themselves Rambam, Rashi, Rashba, that this way we don't run into this problem. The Torah Tmima has a famous kasha on Chumash in Bamidbar. He wants to know, why is it that it was permissible for the Gemara to talk about Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Right? All over the Gemara we find Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. How do you call Moshe Rabbeinu by his first name? How does the Gemara call it Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? We should call it by Halacha L'Roi Yisrael Misinai. Why do we call Moshe Rabbeinu by his first name? How is that possible? How is that permissible? So the Torah Tmima goes on to explain, and in fact the Rambam writes this in his Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos on Seder Zoram. The Rambam writes as follows, Kol mi shehaya nichbad ma'od b'malasu al kol ha'mailos. The Rambam says, a person who was considered a great Talmud Chacham, or a great Tzaddik in his generation, Karu Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when Rebbe was writing the Mishnayos, Rebbe called him b'shmo. Rebbe called him by his first name. Kagon, for example, says the Rambam, Hillel, v'shamay, Shmaya, v'avtalion, they were all referred to by their first names. They weren't given any titles. Right? No superlatives, nothing. It was just Shmai Vavtalion Hil Vishamai. Why? Says the Rambam, Vizel Ligdulasam Uchvod Ma'alasam. This is because they were so great. Bishvil She'i Efsha Limso Kino Yroi Lahem Lechavid Hashemam Kamo She'en Kino Lenevim. The same way the Nevim, we don't call them Rabbeinu right? We don't call the Nevi'im by first names. We don't call them Rav, Rabbeinu, Marenu. We call the Nevi'im by who they are. Why? Because there's no type of title that can really fit the greatness of these individuals. So therefore, Rebbe followed that idea, and Rebbe decided when he was writing the Mishnayos that he only gave titles to those people who were not the most incredibles of the generation, but those who were above and beyond, Hillel, Shammai, Shmaya, Avtali, and Zakhtar Rambam, they're not deserving of a name, meaning they're too great for a name, so therefore, Rebbe just left it as is. That's what the Rambam says. So based on that, this is the pshat what the Torah Tamimim writes. This is why in the Gemara we find all the time that Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to by his first name. We call him Halachal Moshe Mishinai. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, how are we supposed to categorize, how are we supposed to figure out what title to give Moshe Rabbeinu? So you know what? We'll just leave it as Moshe and that's it. Everybody knows who Moshe Rabbeinu is. Like the Tosefta says, Galdo Mirabin Shmon, the greatest kibbutz you could ever give somebody is to call him by his first name because everybody knows he's the famous, this individual is known by his first name to the whole world. Just a little ha'ar according to this. The Gemara that we started with said that Gehazi was punished because he called Elisha by his first name. Elisha was a big tzaddik, so why shouldn't he call him by his first name? So you have to say, if you look in the psukim over there, it says that Gehazi was having a conversation with Yehoram ben Ahab, who was the Melech Yisrael. That's what the psukim say over there. And he's telling him over. So Yehoram asked him, do me a favor, tell me about the greatness of Elisha. No, I don't know anything about him. So when you have a situation like that where the person is not known yet, so then you have to show all the covenant in the world. It's only post-facto when we see Moshe Rabbeinu is already Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the Adon HaNaviim. Moshe Rabbeinu proved himself to be the greatest person ever to live and walk on this earth. So then the greatest covenant you could give Moshe Rabbeinu is just to call him Moshe. But before he was known, you got to give him all the respect in the world. So over here, Gehazi is having a conversation with a Melech Yisrael who asks him, I don't know anything about Elisha. Please fill me in. You assisted him all these years. Tell me about him. So Mustaba, that's a pshat. Why? There was a tine on him that he didn't give the proper respect to Elisha HaNavi. Let's look, how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So in Shulchan Aruch it says in Yerodeah Simen Reish Mem, this comes up number one in Hilchas Kibud Aba'im, and then two simanim later in Hilchas Kavod Talmidei Chachamim. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yikra'enu b'shmo, one is not allowed to call his father by his first name, lo b'chayav v'lo b'moso, not while the father's alive, and not after the father died. Either one is asur. Ela Omer, what does a person say when he refers to his father? Abba Mari. That's what he's supposed to say when he's talking about his father. Similarly, says the Shulchan Aruch Tusi Manim later, Asir l'talmud likros l'rabba b'shmo. A Talmud is not allowed to call his Rebbe by his first name. Zakhtar Amo over there, that one is allowed to say Rebbe Mori Ploni. A person is allowed to say, let's say we call Rabaron Cutler Rabaron. Why does everybody call Rabaron Rabaron? It's his first name. How do we do that? Right, it says you're not allowed to call by the first name. So no, it's because we're giving it the proper respect. We're saying, Marena Rabaron. So that's okay, because this is the way everybody refers to him. The Rama says that is mutter. And the raya that the Achronim, the Kesef Mishnah, and others bring to this psak in the Rama is because by Yoshua ben Nun, we find that he calls Moshe Rabbeinu when Eldar Amedah, the whole story, so he says, Adoni Moshe Klaim. Right? He calls Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, give them a curse. Whatever the pshat in the pasuk is, the Gemara darshans it, but basically, you see that he's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu by his first name, but he calls him Adoni Moshe. So he first gives him a title, he first gives him an introduction by saying a chash of a title, he says Adoni Moshe. So that is what allows him to call him by his first name. That's the way they explain where this Ramah is coming from. There is an interesting idea when it comes to Kavod of Kibud Av, so the Gemara has an Ibai Delev Shita. What happens if you have a rare circumstance where the Talmud, where the son is really the Rebbe of the father? Happens once in a while. Remember, I used to go to Rav Asher Weiss's Shiurim in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Asher Weiss is a guy in Olam, but his father, who's in his 90s, shows up to all the shiurim. He sits in the front row. So it was always very interesting. His father would ask kashas in the middle, and he would have to respond to him, like, you know, with the proper respect, how a person is supposed to respond to his father, but he couldn't have the regular masa umatan that he would have with everyone else, because he was really showing a lot of kavod to his father. So this is, in fact, a shaila in the Gemara. What does a person do when he is the Rebbe of his father? So should his father be standing up for him? That's not respectful. And is the son allowed to stand up for the father? Because I'm the Rebbe, so how do I stand up for my father? So the Gemara has in both of these shilas, in both directions, it's an Ibai Delev Shita. The Gemara doesn't come to a maskan. How do we paskin a Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch says, Chai vanam lamod bifnei aviv, v'ma'av talmud beno. What if the father, this type of situation, what if the father is a talmud of his son? Kol echad mehem omed bifnei hasheni. Each one has to show kavod to the other one, the father has to stand up for the son, and the son has to stand up for the father. That's the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So there's a famous story that the Rush writes that the Maharam Mirutenberg, once he became a big Rosh Hashiva and a big Talmud Chacham, so it says, he never again went to visit his father in his life. Why not? So the Maharam Mirutenberg said, because he was concerned. I don't want to make my father have to stand up for me. It's a bizayon. So therefore the Maharam Mirutenberg said, I would rather never be put into that situation. And the Rush tells us that the Maharam Mirutenberg was careful the rest of his life never to visit his father. Aye, that's a pagam and kibud av in and of itself. How do you not visit your father? Okay, so the Maharam Rutenberg, whatever teretz he gave for that. But that's the story that the Rush tells us. Based on that, the Kloizemerger Rebbe has one of his tshuvas also. He writes about this idea, and he has a beautiful insight. He says, this is the pshat anyone ever noticed when it comes to Yosef HaTzadik. So all of a sudden, they tell him, Hine Avicha Chola. Yosef jumps up and he runs to go visit Yaakov Avinu. What happened? All the years, the Torah doesn't tell us, all the years that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, how come Yosef is not going to visit his father? What's going on here? Zakter Kloizemerger Rebbe, it's based on the story with the Maharam Rutenberg. Yosef was the Melech. So Yaakov Avinu has to show kavod to the Melech. So Yosef was like the Maharam Rutenberg. He didn't want to get into the situation. He didn't want to make Yaakov Avinu have to stand up for him. So he said, you know what? I don't want to visit my father. I don't want to be put in that uncomfortable situation. So therefore, when they come and they tell him, Hine Avicha Chola, your father's sick. Don't worry, he's in the bed. He's not going to get up for you. Nothing's going to happen. Then he says right away, of course I'm going to go visit him. I have all the covet in the world for my father. Of course I want to visit him. Just all the years that I didn't visit him is because I was concerned that my father should show covet to me. That's disrespectful to my father himself. That is the way they explain this Maisa with Yosef HaTzadik. So let's say a person, so in Shulchan Aruch again, this is all an introduction for probably what we're going to get to tomorrow night by now, about being mispalad for one's father, just to keep in mind where we're trying to get to. So let's say the Divrei Chaim has an interesting tshuva. What happens in a situation where a person needs to say his father's name? For example, I'm taking care of my father's doctor bills. I'm talking to his doctor. No, so I have to call up the office and tell them which patient I'm referring to. Or I'm taking care of his electricity bills or whatever it's going to be. I have to tell them who I'm talking about. So how do I not say my father's first name? So the Divrei Chaim writes, he thinks it's a davar pashut. If it's for a very serious and important purpose, obviously that's something that would be 100% permissible. That's mutter. That's not what the Shulchan Aruch meant in this case. And he brings a raya. He says, because we all know that when a person signs his name, he writes, let's say, Aaron Yeshaya ben Harav Tzvi, right? That's what I write. So everyone writes their father's name. That's the way the Chacham made a takana, Gittin Pei Zayin. Person is supposed to sign his name, Ploni ben Ploni. So how can Chazal make such a takana if I'm never allowed to say my father's name? And in Kol HaTorakul we say that Ksiva is Kedibra Dami, when a person writes as if he's speaking. So if that's the case, so how am I allowed to write my father's name? So Divrei Chaim says no, because that is Minhaga Olam. If a person really wants to be an aide on a shtar, the way to do it is to write your name, ben your father. Otherwise it really doesn't work. So if that's the case, anytime there's a real serious reason to do it, that would be permissible. That's what the Divrei Chaim writes over here. An interesting discussion that we have in Ebene Ezer is when it comes to Hilchos Gittin. So the Ramah writes over there, what happens in the following case? The Ramah says, Lechatchila, when let's say I'm writing up a get for a couple that's getting divorced. So the Ramah says, even if the husband that's giving the get is a rabbi or he's a big Talmud Chacham, Lechatchila ein kosvin rabo chacham afilu hu aviv, rav o chacham behuchsek bekach. All we write in a get is Ploni ben Ploni. Zakter Ramah. We don't write any titles when it comes to filling out a get. Why not? What's this all about? What do you mean? If the guy is the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, why shouldn't we write his name with Harav in the front? So the Nachla Shiva, which is the Sefer on Hilchos Gittin, so the Nachla Shiva explains as follows. He says, why don't we write Harav before the name of the husband who's divorcing his wife? That's because the get is his own shtar. He's giving a get to his wife. So, should I go around the world and start telling everybody what a great Talmud Chacham I am and introduce myself by all the titles? Of course not. So when I am the husband and I'm writing a get and giving it to my wife, that's me speaking. So I shouldn't write my name is Harav. That just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense to write in such a way to give myself titles. So that's number one. That's why a person doesn't write in a get. We don't write Harav before the husband's name. However, what if his father's a Talmud Chacham? So why don't we write Aaron Yeshaya ben Harav Tzvi? Why is the minhag that we don't write Harav by the father's name? He's not the one writing the shtar. So over there, the Nachla Shiva says no, because by a get, we're always very careful to make everything in a way that no one's ever going to fight. No one's ever going to be ma'ar on a get. So here, let's say we're going to start writing Harav for some people, and for other people, we're not going to write it. So down the line, someone's going to wake up and say, hey, his father's a rabbi, my father's not a rabbi, I pass the whole get. So we don't want anyone having tainas, so by a get, we write everything clearly. Ploni ben Ploni, no titles, no anything. You just write the name the way it's supposed to be. And the minhag also is, this is what we do. The Ramah passes like this, and this is how we do it, halacha lemaisa. And when it comes to Hilchos Gittin as well, we say that the Edom also should not sign their names Harav. Generally, the Edom just write their names the way they are. We don't write any special titles. I was talking this afternoon to Rabbi Michal Zilberman. He's a big Mesader Gittin with the RCA. So he told me that one time he was being Mesader Get for a couple, and the wife was a conservative Rebbetzin. She was a conservative rabbi in a conservative shul, so she, when it came time to write the get, she wanted them to write rabbi in front of her name. So they were a little uncomfortable, but then they started explaining to her, even when we have an Orthodox rabbi who's a man, we also don't write harav in front of his name. It's not that we have anything wrong with you, it's just that we don't write rabbi in a get. It's not the way we do it. So what about when it comes to a ksuba? Is a ksuba the same thing as a get? Do we follow the same rules? So the Nachla Shiva writes that we should try to be makbid as much as we can to follow the halachas of gittin when it comes to a ksuba as well. So we don't always do that. It's not always so simple. We don't carry over all the dinim. Generally, we're not as makbid on a ksuba as we would be on a get. They say a story that Reb Chaim Ozer was the Masada Kedushin by the wedding of the stipler. So they say that Reb Chaim Ozer on that ksuba, I think it's documented in the Archas Rabbeinu, they quote the story that Reb Chaim Ozer wrote out the ksuba and he wrote Ploni Ben Ploni. He didn't write any titles, even though everybody knew who the stipler was even then. Reb Chaim Ozer knew who he was dealing with. Still, he just wrote Ploni Ben Ploni because in the ksuba he was Machmir. Just like Hilchas Gittin, we don't write any titles. But generally, the Minhag Olam is not like that. We're not so Machmir by Hilchas Ksuba as we are by Hilchas Gittin. I know on our ksuba, so my ksuba, my father was the Aron Masada Kedushin, and it says in there, Aron Yeshaya Ben Harav Tzvi. So I guess he's not so concerned about this. That's what he wrote. So, and I've seen him write it by, let's say, I was not a Talmud Chacham and I got married, but there are some people who get married and are Talmud Chacham. So I've seen my father write that. On the Chassan himself, he writes Harav, if the person really is befitting for such a title. So that's why generally we're not so machmer. Why not? So the Aruch HaShulchan points out because there's a big difference between a get and a ksuba. A get is the husband speaking to his wife. It's a shtar kinyan. He is writing something up and he's giving it to his wife saying, this is what I want to happen. By the ksuba, all it is a shtar raya. The husband was mechayiv himself. This is just the edim are signing it saying, we testify that we saw this transaction happen. So when the edim are writing about someone else, they have the right to write all the titles and all the appropriate ways of referring to the person. They could write harav all they want. They could write the father's name, the mother's name. They could write whatever they want. The minhag is we just write ploni ben ploni, and we can add whatever titles we want. But basically, that is the basic distinction between a get and a ksuba. A get is the husband speaking, and the ksuba is the edim speaking. So when the husband's speaking, it's not right for him to refer to himself by these special titles. When the edim are speaking, so that's a different story. They're allowed to refer to someone by bigger titles than we would by a get. Mirtz Hashem tomorrow night, maybe we'll continue a little bit. Got a little sidetracked here, but we'll continue to talk about how a person is supposed to be mispala for his Rebbe or for his father in light of the fact that the Gemara says one is not allowed to call his father by his first name.